This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, it won't be that long before school-aged children are back in school, learning a whole range of subjects, languages, sciences, art subjects, practical subjects. I mean, I won't bore you any further, but you get what I mean. They learn a huge range of subjects, but one of them isn't natural history. No one in schools is teaching children about the natural world that's all about them. There's nothing helping them recognise different wildflowers. There's nothing teaching them which bird that is that's singing that beautiful song. Nothing teaching them which beetle that is crawling up that particular tree, or the importance or threats to all of these. In fact, natural history must be one of the only subjects where children probably learn more about it when they're not at school and during the school holidays than they do when they're at school. Which frankly does seem stupid, doesn't it? And whilst a new natural history GCSE has been promised, progress on it seems to be really slow. And even though 2025 was suggested as a start date when it was given the go-ahead back in 2022, so far no fixed date has been given for it being taught in schools. Now, someone who is pressing for all this to change is local nature writer Vanessa Wright. With a zoology degree and a master's in nature writing, and having spent over 20 years working for the world's largest education company, which included one of the UK's biggest exam boards, plus being vice chair of a multi-academy school here in Herts, she's well versed in education, curriculum issues, and natural history itself. I spoke to Vanessa, and my first question to her was why she thought that we don't already learn about natural history at school.
I think that's a really good question, Amanda. Thank you for inviting me. And I think it's been a bit of a lost art, to be honest. I remember my primary school and having a nature table. We just seem to have lost that love and passion. And perhaps we've just been so caught up in the world of technology and being fast paced that we've forgotten to slow down and notice and look and love the nature around us. And of course, we learn elements in geography and biology, perhaps. But I think perhaps we've lost the art of naming. And I know certainly Robert McFarlane even created poems in response to the words that have been taken out of the Oxford Children's Dictionary a few years ago, just to bring them back and to name them and to remember them and to love them.
And I just wondered whether you thought that the learning about nature, whether it has to happen in schools or whether, actually, I mean, there are some great resources out there. There's some brilliant television programmes, there's some excellent books. Does this learning need to happen in schools?
I think so. And yes, you're right. There's lots of great things happening around. You can access brilliant David Attenborough documentaries. That's certainly how my love for nature began. So it's not to say it can't happen. But there needs to be conditions, I suppose, that facilitate that learning outside of the classroom. Some of it's affluence and being able to afford to go to the coast for the day, perhaps, or out to the countryside, having a car to get there. But some of it is, just perhaps your parents just aren't interested. So if they're not interested, how do you become interested? So having it on the curriculum as part of the school learning means that everybody gets to learn about it and everybody gets to understand some basic knowledge. And I think it's really important that that basic knowledge then leads to curiosity, to explore, to learn more. And that in turn leads to care and love for it. We need that desperately. We are in a climate emergency and we need our future generations equipped with the right knowledge to be able to not only help people, because it impacts people, but the planet.
So you mentioned earlier that there are already elements of natural history incorporated into things like biology and geography. And I wondered whether you thought that actually it could be better to expand what's covered in those other subjects, or whether you thought that having the separate natural history GCSE that's proposed, whether you thought that was a better answer?
First of all, let's be frank. Each GCSE is 120 hours of learning. That's actually not much. And those disciplines are already bursting at the seams in terms of what gets put in there. Biology today is a lot about the mechanisms and processes of bodies. There's not that much time and space for ecology and natural history in what is a huge curriculum already. I do know that some of the examination boards are looking at their current qualifications and looking at opportunities to incorporate more information and knowledge around climate education. But that's probably going to have to be at the expense of something else as well. But a dedicated qualification is something that will really equip learners with the knowledge of the natural world.
Now, the natural history GCSE, it was given the go-ahead over 2 years ago, but we still don't know when the first students will be able to take the subject. Can you just outline some of the difficulties in setting up this new GCSE?
Yeah, I mean, Mary Caldwell has been the person who spearheaded this, and she championed this from 2011. So this has been a very, very long time coming. It only got to the attention of Caroline Lucas in 2018, where she got the involvement of OCR, who between them proposed a specification. And it wasn't until 2022 that the Department of Education announced that it would actually go ahead. There was then a round of reviewing and refining by all of the exam boards, of which I was part of that. And then it's gone back to the DfE, which I think was July 2022, waiting for that Minister of Schools stamp of approval. But that's where it's stalled ever since. The next crucial step is for the qualification to go out to the public, but it really does need the new Minister for Schools and the Secretary of State to approve it. The exam boards will be wanting to submit their specification and their sample assessments to get that accreditation, and then it can be launched for teachers.
I was just wondering about it, even once it's all been agreed and given the go-ahead, how do you even teach a subject where nobody's had the opportunity to study the subject? It seems like a bit of a chicken and egg situation. Do you know what will happen there?
The exam boards will have a big launch for their teachers. Before a new qualification is introduced, they have Get Ready for Teach, which comes a year before the actual teaching starts. So the teachers and schools that are interested in offering this as a qualification will have a package of support from the relevant exam boards that will help them teach.
And I just wondered also, I saw that the proposal is that the new Natural History GCSE will include quite a lot of field work, actually getting out and looking at what's there in your own local natural environment. And that seems to be great if you're somewhere that's surrounded by countryside. And I just wondered how on earth that would work in an urban environment, particularly deprived urban environment, where there's just not that green infrastructure there.
I think you're absolutely right. And when I was consulting on the subject and assessment criteria for the qualification, that was one of the points I raised, was making sure that this was accessible regardless of where you are in the country. Growing up, we've been led to think that countryside is somewhere else, and it's very othering to think about this space that is somewhere else that you might not be able to access. And we've seen lots of reports coming out about people feeling comfortable in the countryside. But I think we need to get over ourselves and not just think about nature being countryside. Nature is everywhere, and it's for everyone.
So another problem that I thought was, I mean, I didn't know if there'd been any work done on how popular a natural history GCSE might be. I remember when I was choosing GCSE subjects, and really there's so many subjects I would have loved to have done, and I'm sure that natural history would definitely have been one of them. You know, but when you're faced with all those other subjects that you feel that you really have to do, I just wondered whether natural history would be one of those subjects which would get squeezed out, sadly.
Yeah, no, this is a big issue in terms of when the Minister for Schools approved the qualification, they said that it would be what is put in bucket three or the open bucket. Now, if you're not familiar with the school's curriculum and how it works, you know, schools are kind of measured on the EBAC, and what percentage of students take the EBAC. And that includes you having to learn English and maths, of course, science, which counts as double. And then you have to learn one humanities, one language. I'm probably missing something off the top of my head. But then I think it allows you probably two spare options. And you've got to remember, this qualification is going to be competing with all sorts of things, sport, music, business, psychology, sociology. Yeah, there's a lot of competition for that open bucket. So you're right. It's how do you make this qualification really attractive to students so that they want to choose it? And for me, that's making sure that you position it as being really relevant to the future. There are going to be over 725,000 jobs in low carbon industry. So attaching it to career outcomes, and I think that's important to say, that's not just jobs in conservation and nature. You know, we need to help our learners feel equipped for the future world where they need to be thinking as sustainable citizens. So some of it's in the positioning, but you're right, you know, there are choices and people will gravitate to what interests them. So it kind of comes down to what happens in the school curriculum before we get to choosing those options. How do we update specifications in other subjects so that even if you're not studying a dedicated qualification in the area, you are still garnering some knowledge that will help you to make future decisions as a business leader, as a policymaker, whatever field of interest you might go in, your decisions and your actions will have an impact on people and the planet.
So I just wondered, given that we've got this delay in the Natural History GCSE actually being signed off and happening, I just wondered if you knew what the current government's position is on it.
Well, you say it's signed off and happening, but it's been signed off and happening for over 2 years now, and we still haven't got the go-ahead for it to go out to public consultation, which is the next step. So what are Labour doing? I mean, obviously, they've been very busy. It's a new government. There's always uncertainty with what will happen. Obviously, civil servants have been working with the previous government. So hopefully they'll all be well versed in the whys and wherefores of this particular qualification so that they can brief the new schools minister and the new education secretary. We do know that Labour promised a curriculum and assessment review in their manifesto in 2023. But we hope that this doesn't mean that the Natural History GCSE gets caught up in this red tape. We do know that the new government has paused the scrapping of A-levels and T-levels, which Rishi Sunak announced, I think, earlier this year. Let's hope that this doesn't take forever and it's not a cumbersome exercise that really slows things down. But we have seen that the Labour government have been quite decisive and action orientated on many other things, including, very importantly, teacher pay. So let's hope that they are actions rather than just words. And, you know, there's promise and hope for progress very soon.
So in the meantime, summer holidays, if our children are interested in nature, or if we'd just like them to learn a bit about nature, where's a good place to start? Particularly, I suppose, if we don't know that much ourselves.
Yeah, I think it's really important. It's very easy these days to be stuck to our screens, both as adults and as children, and just get outside and just be in the freedom of being outside and enjoying it and paying attention, noticing. I think this goes for adults and children, actually, is stopping, noticing. Think about all the senses you have, your eyes, your ears, the smells, the touch. It's noticing, it's slowing down, which I think can be quite difficult for us to do when we're rushing around. Holidays are a good opportunity if you're by the coast or if you're overseas. When you do actually take that time to stop is when you do notice, and you can, by noticing just something simple where you just point your phone, not that you want to be stuck to your phones, but if you want to know what it is, you know, it's a really easy way to just focus in on a plant. It will tell you what it is. And then that's a springboard for learning, for garnering curiosity. And that in turn creates care and love, I think. So nothing more really than just making sure people get outside. It's so important for well-being. And there's a statistic that even in schools, 75% of children spend less time outdoors than prison inmates, which I found an absolutely shocking statistic. Yeah, I think it's really important that we just get people to love being outdoors first and foremost. The other thing is we have to remember that our school grounds are a vast area that could be a home for wildlife. And the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust have launched an initiative, which is the Wilder School Champions, which invites volunteers to go into the school, and you can get a group of kids, teachers involved in what's already working for wildlife in those school grounds. Again, it's a learning opportunity. It's an excuse to be outside. And it's also an opportunity to look at where else can you create space for nature in your grounds. It could be putting up swift boxes on the school wall or making bird feeders in the woodwork class and hanging them somewhere on a tree outside. It could be letting your playing field grow around the borders. So, yeah, there's lots of opportunities.
Indeed, Vanessa. I think you're right there. It will do us all good, won't it? Whether we're of a generation where the new natural history GCSE applies to us or not, we can all definitely learn a lot and benefit a lot from being outside. Vanessa, thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Amanda.
I'll make sure that I pop a link to the Wilder Schools project into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. And Vanessa did mention apps to help you identify nature, which can help all of us to learn, children and adults. You might like to try the iSpot app, which helps you identify and share your nature spots. I know that many of you like the Merlin app that helps identify birdsong. And last week, Malcolm Hull suggested that we use the iRecord Butterflies app to help identify and report our butterfly sightings. So, would you have chosen to take GCSE Natural History at school if you'd have had the chance? Do let me know. Get in touch via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm going to be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.